Today is August 10th, 2005, and I'm sitting here across the table from Catherine Livia Leyva Mendoza. Okay, we got that right. We're at 525 West 16th Street, apartment 28 in Salida, Colorado. And Catherine, I know that you've lived here all of your life.
Yes.
And you were born here?
No, not here in Salida. I was born in Mount Rose, Colorado.
Okay. Well, that's pretty close. And when did you move to Salida?
I don't know. I was very small.
Very young. Okay. And did you have a big family?
Yes.
You have a lot of kids? I know, but they don't know. Yeah, and so you have a lot of brothers and sisters, don't
yes.
you? And are they all, did they all stay here, or?
Yes, we all grew up here, but they're almost gone. There's four of us dead,
mm-hmm.
and the rest, you know, all live in Colorado, but, you know, in different parts of the state.
Mm-hmm.
They mostly live around Denver.
And you stayed here in Salida?
I don't know, I just liked it.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up, you know, during the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
We made our own little things, you know, to play with, and it's just home for me.
Yeah, familiar, huh?
Yes.
So, do you have children? No children?
That was the only big disappointment, but I adopted two.
Oh.
A boy and a girl. But they don't live around here.
Uh-huh. Well, neat. And what are their names?
A boy and a girl. The boy, did you say where are they?
What are their names?
Henry.
Henry. And the girl's name?
Rosemary.
Ooh, pretty name. So you're here in Salida. And I know that you have some stories that you want to tell us because you've lived here most of your life,
mm-hmm.
right? And one thing that we talked about before was you have some information on the steam plant that your father worked there. Is that right? Do you want to tell
yes.
me more about that?
Well, there really isn't very much I can tell you because we were quite small.
Mm-hmm.
And we were a close-knitted family when we were growing up. And he always used to tell us where he worked.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a little saying, my dad loved the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to ask him, Dad, what's, you know, on the other side of the mountain? And he used to say, another mountain. And it's so true. Have you ever flown in a plane?
Yes, yes, it is true.
And
true.
You, this, mm-hmm. it just keeps on, it follows a pattern, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah.
And when he, and you know that, are you familiar with Smeltertown?
Smeltertown, yes. Mm-hmm.
You know that big brick chimney that
mm-hmm.
they build out there?
Mm-hmm.
He used to tell a story that he worked there, but he never mentioned dates or how long he worked or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with a steam plant. He used to tell little things like that, but, you know, just little
mm-hmm.
stories.
Well, do you remember anything about, I mean, did he build the Smeltertown smokestack?
He worked there.
He worked there.
Uh-huh. On both places.
Uh-huh.
The steam plant and that. But, you know, like I said, it was just little stories he used to tell us.
Mm. So did you ever visit him at
uh-huh.
work?
Okay, let me tell you something else, too. You know the lions that are on the Alpine Park?
Yes.
My grandfather, Aragon, my mother's dad, worked there. But I can't give you the details because I don't know.
So
it's just the stories my mother told us.
Did he help put them up? Or?
I don't know whether he was a laborer or what. I really
mm-hmm.
don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, talking to people like I am with you, I talked to this boy at the library, and he also told me that he couldn't give me that information about my grandfather, because that's what I really called him about. He said he couldn't give me that kind of information, because he didn't know.
Oh.
Anyway, he said that, but he did say that the same man that built the lions there, also had something to do with the tenderfoot.
Oh, okay.
So I really don't know the details, you know, just hearsay.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the courthouse, that's something else.
And what about the courthouse?
You have you seen any old pictures about the court, about the courthouse at all?
Not that I recall, that are different from what I see when I go there.
What have you heard about it?
Nothing. You're here to tell all of us about the courthouse.
Well, I was quite small, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother used to have a big old fit, let's put it that way. Because we'd go out to play, and the first base we made a beeline, you know, for the sandbanks, they called them, before they built up the courthouse. And it was, are you familiar with that area?
Yeah, where the courthouse is.
Okay, you know where the Presbyterian Church is built now?
Yes.
Okay, you know how it has like a little park there, climbing out there? Okay.
Whitty Park, I believe it is.
That's what it is. Okay, across the street from there to the other block, you know where the courthouse is? I don't know the names of the streets. All this was nothing but sandbanks. And there was two houses only built up there. A big, big house and the one where Dr. Bender used to live. I don't know if you remember him or not.
I remember the name.
Anyway, it was nothing but sand. There was nothing up there. It was just banks of sand and sand and sand. And they also said, I never remember the boroughs, but there is a friend here that lives here. You might want to talk to him. His name's Carl Cascarelli. He said that he used to ride boroughs there on the sandbanks, and talk about us laugh. I said, I don't remember that. Oh, he said, there was hundreds of them. And he said he remembers that. Because him and I used to play together, you know, and his sisters and my sisters. And, you know, and...
Well, maybe you were just a baby.
No, I think I must have been maybe... 6 or 7. I know I didn't go to school yet. And I don't think he went, you know, because we were more or less the same age. But he remembers a lot of things that I remember.
And then don't you think maybe because he was a boy, maybe he got on the bureau before?
Well, he
had.
I guess he comes from a big family, too.
Because
I remember some of his sisters. Anyway, he brought another interesting topic up. You probably have heard of Laura Evans, the lady from the... Okay. He was the one who we were talking about it. And he said, do you remember Nigger Mary? I said, who was Nigger Mary? I don't remember her at all. But I do remember Laura Evans. She's a big, heavy-set lady, and she lived on the red light district. Oh, my mother didn't even want us to look over there, you know. It's a bad, bad thing then. It's still, maybe it still is, I don't know. But she was good to us.
Laura Evans.
Laura Evans. She would always have a hard candy and give us, and let us have some. But she, what really caught our eye, I guess the way she dressed. She wore these evening dresses, you know, evening gowns.
During the day.
And she smoked cigars. And she would go in and shoot pool with the men. I saw that. That's what I tell you. I can remember that much. But Nigger Mary, Carl was telling me about her. I said, I don't remember her. But maybe it was.
Was she in the same business as
Laura
Evans? Yes, she
was. Yes, they had the whorehouse. They called it the red light district at them time. And it wasn't front Sackett, it was Front Street.
It was called Front Street then?
Yeah, then.
Well, that's interesting. We always like to hear a lot about Laura Evans. She was an
interesting
character.
They say that she helped the poor a lot. I know she was good to us because she used to give us candy all the time.
Now,
and
how
my mother didn't like it very well because I wasn't, you know, wasn't proper, I guess. I don't know.
So you did walk over there on the street?
We passed there in the alley. Because we weren't allowed to go through that street because of that red light district. Okay, now, I want to tell you something about the narrow gauge train.
Okay.
You know, have you been on back of the swimming pool here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the narrow gauge engine and caboose there?
No.
You haven't?
I take my stuff to be recycled. I guess we better go take a walk.
Well, anyway, we have been to visit my grandpa and grandma, my dad's parents in Montrose. How we got over there, I can't remember, but I can remember coming back. And we rode this narrow gauge train from Montrose to Salida. And it was, it's still, I can still see how beautiful and how smart I thought I was because I was having a train ride on that little train. And the tracks, there used to be a bridge there too. You know where the steam plant is?
Mm-hmm.
There was a narrow, they called it the narrow gauge bridge. It's a big old black thing. You remember that?
Well, I've only lived here 10 years, so...
But haven't you talked to people about that?
Nobody's mentioned that, no.
And the tracks, you know, were real narrow. And you know, one of these days, you go over there and look at that narrow gauge engine and a caboose.
Mm-hmm.
And you can understand how thrilled we were as kids running a train like that.
Sure.
And when we came to the bridge... We knew we were in Salida because it was a narrow gauge bridge. My dad also used to mention it to us all the time that that was a good bridge.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why they took it down. And they even took the trains down, the tracks off.
Well, they're not using railroads very much anymore.
But that's right. Such a good history of Salida.
Yes, it is. I mean, Salida was a railroad town.
Yes,
no doubt about it. Yeah.
Okay, now what else you want to know?
Well, you said that you had some that you were going to tell me something about swimming, not the swimming pool, but just you when you were young, you did a lot of swimming with your family. No.
Well,
I wrote that down. And something about the depot. You had some...
Okay, yeah, I was coming to that.
Okay.
The depot wasn't like it is. Well, I can't describe it because it's not there anymore.
We have a picture of it in the library.
Okay, when you go, you look at that railroad depot, the main liner, you know, the big DNRG.
Mm-hmm.
It was a rock business, you know, it was made out of rock.
Mm-hmm.
It had a long sort of like a patio, and this is the big train, the DNRG, and the bridge is here in the river, and the depot was here.
Mm-hmm.
And the narrow gate, the one where I rode, they came and they crossed the bridge. And for some reason, there was a connection there. I can't describe it because I can't see the pictures anymore.
Well, there was a roundhouse there a long time ago.
No, the roundhouse is down a little ways.
Right, but there's nothing
wrong with that. And there used to be a hotel there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where the hotel was... The railroad depot, you know, DNRG, was here.
Mm-hmm.
And the narrow gauge came from here, and they had sort of like a meeting place there. And then the restaurant was over here, you know, on the riverside. You can't remember that, or you don't know? But well, you no, can look at some pictures.
Right. No, I'm aware of it. I just wasn't here.
Uh-huh. Anyway, the railroad depot at NRG was a big thing. The way I remember it, maybe I thought it was big because it was small.
Uh-huh.
But it was there. I don't know why they tore it down. No railroad tracks or anything anymore.
Mm-mm. It's all gone.
They're all gone.
Yeah.
What is it about people you wanted to know?
Well, I just wanted to know what it was like growing up here in Salida.
Okay. There wasn't a swimming pool there. So we had a water hole. Mm-hmm. You know where Denoyer's is?
Mm-hmm.
The flower nursery? It wasn't like that before when I was growing up. Everybody in town used to go to that water hole at the little river, they called it. And it was around that area where the Denoyer's is. Okay, we used to go there all the time. But it's so different now. Did you know they used to make bricks out there?
No.
That I can't tell you very much because, you know, we were quite small. But we used to hear stories about that, you know, that mm-hmm. they couldn't make any more bricks because the gravel or whatever they used to make bricks wasn't up to par, so they quit.
Huh.
Have you ever heard about that?
About the bricks? No. No, I've heard about that was the swimming hole before, though. Right?
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, being that I come from a big family, I had a little sister younger than I am. She was always tagging along. And like I said, it wasn't like that then when we used to go to the swimming hole. There used to be a ranch there. Right after we got to the swimming, that we got tired, we always wanted to go home, but we always had to stop on that empty, sort of like a end of the farm. And they used to have wild pigs there.
Oh.
And apple trees. We didn't think nothing about, you know, that the pigs were wild. We always crossed up, you know, those fences, you know, with a barbed wire.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd get caught our clothes on there. Boy, Mother would really blow her top. Anyway, one time we went, you know, I had my little sister with us, and, you know, some other kids were with us, and here come them pigs. We didn't know what to do, Kathy. And they were mean. If I didn't have, we climbed the tree as fast as we could, and I grabbed my sister by the hair, and I pulled up the tree, and here's those pigs. And now, you know, on top of the tree. I thought they were never going to go. They finally left, and we finally got down off of the tree and made a beeline to go home.
Did you ever go back there again?
No. Yes, but we eliminated the apple tree. We wouldn't go over there anymore.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that sounds mighty scary. I'm sorry, I was kind of laughing as you were telling the story. But
and let me tell you, you know, we lived across the street from Carl Cascarelli's place.
What, do you remember the address?
It's on 2nd Street somewhere.
Okay.
I can't remember, you know. It's been so long ago. I can't remember the name.
That's close enough, 2nd Street.
It was on 2nd Street.
Mm-hmm.
But it's right below the courthouse. So, you see, that's why I know so much about the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
The courthouse, you know, just had to cross the corner and go across the street, and there was our favorite place, the sandbanks. Anyway, we used to play in the summertime, you know, with this Carl Cascarelli and his sisters. And there used to be a big old red barn there. And we wouldn't go near that place because they used to say it was haunted. Am I boring you?
No, I'm having a great time. I hope you are. No, these are the kind of stories we want to hear. I mean, you don't find this information in the history books, and that's why that's why we're doing these interviews with individuals who lived here.
Well, anyway, this was a big old barn, and they used to say it was a spooky house. Well, we would pay as long as it was, you know, daylight that we could see. But after it got dark, hey, forget it. We wouldn't even look that way. And my mother used to say all the time, oh, don't pay attention to that kind of stuff. She didn't believe in it. Well, anyway, the people that lived across the street from there, the Ralph Capelli, do you know him?
No, I've heard the name, though.
Ralph Capelli's parents bought that big old spooky house. And you ought to see the pretty house they built there. It's still standing. But anyway, we knew it as a spooky house.
So when you go by it now, do you still...
Well, yes, you know, I don't get on much.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always think of the spooky house and Carl Cascarelli because they were our neighbors. And we were very close. Let me tell you something else, too, that when you sit around and talk about things like this, you can't help but feel, you know, and think of other things.
That's good. So you tell me whatever you think of.
Chokecherries.
Ah.
Do you like chokecherries?
Love them.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, and I just hate them. I've had too many when I was growing up.
Yeah.
They say that they're very medicinal.
Mm-hmm.
My mother used to, you know, eat them, you know, we'd freeze them for her. Mm-hmm. And she'd eat them frozen. She never had any colds.
Yeah. Well, I know the Indians use chokecherries a lot.
Okay. You know where the hospital is?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like that a long time ago when I was growing up. That church camp, you know, that there's that red... The red building there, before you get to the hospital, it wasn't there. That place was full of chokecherries. Oh. We used to go there and pick all the chokecherries. Everybody in town went, I guess. And a lot, did you ever drink some of that wine?
No. Chokecherry wine?
Yes. They say it's delicious.
Hmm.
Like I said, I guess I'm burned out with the chokecherries.
So do you remember you went with your mom to go pick them?
Oh, yeah. We never went anywhere except to the swimming hole. We went by ourselves. But otherwise, Mother was always with us. Let me tell you something else, too. Did you know about the band concerts we used to have at the ballpark, at the Alpine Park?
The band concerts? Well, I've heard about it, but you tell me. The basketball court wasn't there, and there was like a little amphitheater there at one time in Alpine Park. Is that right?
It used to be. You know how the path made us.
Yes.
How they made us enter there. They had a big old. I don't know what you would call it. But that's where the band used to play. Mm-hmm. What is it called? The porch or something?
I thought amphitheater.
Is that what it was?
A band box, maybe? No, not a band box.
I don't know what it's called, but it's a little house.
Oh, a house. Oh,
sort of
okay.
Like a little house, you know, like a patio. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it was high, you know, you could look up and see it.
There was a stage then.
Yeah, a small one, enough room for us. And we used to have a grand time. Mother used to make her and a friend of hers used to make homemade ice cream. Mm. Did you ever eat homemade ice cream?
Yes.
Well, anyway, this lady had a bunch of kids, and Mother had a bunch of kids, and they used to get together and make homemade ice cream. And we'd go sell it, and it used to be on Thursday nights.
You'd sell it?
Yes.
At the band.
Ice cream at the band concert.
Yeah.
Everybody was there to have a good time. Mm-hmm. And we did. Everybody went. I saw all the kids that went to school there. It was a lot of fun, Kathy.
So how did you sell it? Did you put it in
for
cones?
A nickel?
Did
yes.
You put it in little cups?
In a cone.
In the cone. For a nickel.
For a
like
nickel. Hey, that's cheap.
Yeah. I think these days it's $2 and something.
It's a lot.
I don't know, but yeah, things have gone up. Mm-hmm. So what time, when do you, how about how old do you think you were then when you were doing the, was selling the ice cream?
Well, I was going to school. Maybe I might have been 9 or 8 years mm-hmm. old, 9 or 10 years mm-hmm. old, because I knew the value of money then.
So that was in the late 20s, like before the Depression. Did you remember any effects of the Depression here in Salida?
Well, yes. I didn't go to school because I had to get out and work.
Oh.
I didn't earn very much, but what I did earn helped the kids mm-hmm. to keep them in school. You know, you could buy a pair of tennis shoes for a dollar.
Yeah, but you may have had to work a whole day for that dollar, right?
We had a Jewish family here, the Greenbergs.
Mm-hmm. They had a
furniture store.
Right, I've heard of them. Mm-hmm.
Well, being that I worked for her, you know, during the summer, mm-hmm. she used to make the best Jewish bread.
Challah. Was that it?
I don't know what it was.
Was it braided?
No, they were made like little buns or rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to put those black sesame seeds on them.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew, you know, we come from a big family. And when I used to work on Fridays for her. And she used to give me 2 loaves of bread to take home to the kids.
That's nice.
And they were Jewish people. And, you know, that woman always covered her head when she read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Are you Jewish?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, yeah. I don't do
no, that. Don't be sorry.
But
no, I'm interested in this.
What?
This is interesting.
It's, how could I tell you? She used to cover her head with a blue hat, a bandana
like a scarf.
Silk,
mm-hmm.
and when she put it on, it more or less looked like a hat.
Uh-huh.
And she wouldn't talk to you or anything. She would give me instructions what to do when I got there on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And on Friday, she sat down and read her Bible, and she sang. You know, but in Jewish.
Hebrew.
Mm-hmm. Or whatever yeah. language you want to me was Jewish. And I used to tell my mother all the time, she said, you never mind her. You get over there and work.
Well, that's the beginning of the Jewish Sabbath, is the Friday night. So typically you prepare for it.
But I couldn't work on Saturdays.
Yeah.
It had to be on Friday right. in the mornings.
Right.
And, you know, I got to a point where I really loved that little old lady.
Uh-huh.
And she was Jewish, but she was good to me. Very good. Like I said, let me tell you something else. You know, I grew up during the Depression, and being that it was, you know, it was hard for my daddy to keep food on the table for us. That's why I hate choke cherries and deer meat.
That's all you ate, huh?
Well, we had so much of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, when Mama went grocery shopping, we could hardly wait till she come home with all them groceries. There was nothing more we loved, this is the honest to God truth, than they used to sell these 4 or 5 gallons of jelly.
Wow.
They come in a can, like and my mother used to buy one of those, you know, being that we're such a big family.
Right.
Oh, we thought we were in heaven because we had bread from the store and peanut butter and jelly. That's how poor we were.
Uh-huh.
And we grew up, but we were happy. And we had enough jelly and peanut
really?
Butter in the family.
And, so during those, oh, go ahead.
And, you know, after we grew up, that we grew a little older, we never made tortillas. My God, You had to make your tea maybe 5 in the morning. So Mother taught us how to make yeast bread. We made a lot of yeast bread. So that eliminated the tracheas. My husband wouldn't have anything to do with it. He didn't like yeast bread. He liked tortillas.
But you never made it for him?
Oh, believe it, I did.
Yeah.
You've been married?
Yeah. I've made tortillas, too. They're pretty easy. I mean, they're easier than making bread, so...
Well, you know, to make bread, yeast bread, it generally takes a whole day to make bread.
Yeah, and tortillas.
Okay, what else can we talk about?
Well, I was going to ask before, what did your mother do at home? I mean, she made bread and you helped. I mean, were there other things? Did she make soap? I mean, especially during the Depression, was there a lot that...
Yes,
you know,
made soap. That was a dirty, stinking job.
Did you have to help her?
Believe it, we had. She made it outside. She had her own separate, tub. And they made a bonfire outside. It took her forever and a day to get all that fat. And she got us started, but we had to watch it. And let me tell you something, Kathy. When we went to stir it, we had to go one way all the time. You couldn't go this way, and you couldn't go that way. One way.
And why? Did you know why you went one way?
No, she never explained it. She said that if you went one way, she would have better soap.
Oh, okay.
Did you make soap too?
No.
It's a stinking job. But we learned how to do it. You asked what she did. She supervised. My mother kept it busy. Your mother didn't believe for us, being that we were all girls. She made it her business. She knew that we know how to cook. We know how to sew. We knew how to patch. We knew how to make quilts. You name it, we knew it. Because she taught us what she knew, let's do it that way. And she was very strict. You couldn't, it's so different when I was growing up. No back talk. You honor the father and the mother, and that's all there is to it. We had a big old round table when we sat down to eat the evening meal. Sometimes we just had beans, but we were glad we had beans. And my sister, the one that lives in Lakewood, my sister Rose, she was just beginning to talk. My brother John, my two brothers, younger brothers, we all sat up table on this round chair, on this round table, and my dad, no talking. You come to the table to eat. We know all sat down on this big round table, and my sister Rose was just beginning to talk. Water! And water! She wouldn't keep quiet till my dad would say, tell one of the boys, get her a glass of water. Okay, when she got water, we were ready to eat. But, you know, I can remember that so well, Kathy, that my dad was head of the house image, let's put it that way. And he was a stinker. We came to the table to eat, not to fight, not to eat. And that was it.
And you obeyed him.
Oh, you better believe it. My sister Rose... Let me tell you what happened one time. She's out, you know, I was already a teenager and working already. Anyway, she did school. She did school and she got caught. She got the paddling of her life. She never did it again. My dad said, you think you're playing sneaky and not go to school. You go to school. They were stinkers for us to go to church and school.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask about that next, about what activities and what church did you go to, and was there a lot of your life centered around going to church and the family?
Believe it.
Yeah.
We learned how to pray. We made a First Holy Communion, all of us, not all the Mexican community that grew up during the time we were growing up, all of them went to church.
And it was St. Joe's?
St. Joe's. We sold, we had made bazaars, and we sold food. We did a lot for the church, and we were willing to do it because that was a must. Come rain or sunshine, go to church and go to school. We had to go. There was no in-betweens.
Mm-hmm. So what were some other things that you did at church? What were some other things that you did at church besides the bazaars and learning prayers and, you know, as a family, you know, were there
as
picnics?
As a family? Well, we had a lot of, how could I tell you? We all got together, you know, the people that went to church, we got together and they fixed suppers. You didn't pay very much, but what you paid went to the church. But we all got together and cooked. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, well,
At somebody's house. It was always at somebody's house. But we all stuck together and we all worked, and all that little resources that we gathered all went to the church. That's the only thing I can remember. Mm-hmm. We sang at the church. We went to Holy Communion at the church. Funeral, you name it, everything is a church.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing because it stays with you.
Right. You may stray, but you always come back, huh?
Yes. But, you know, my husband wasn't like that. His family had a different idea about religion. Mm-hmm. They weren't very strong Catholics, but we were. Everybody here in Salida were good Catholics.
Mm-hmm. Where did you meet your husband?
I went to visit a sick aunt of mine in Idaho. Mm-hmm. In the state of Idaho. It was during the war. And that's where I met him. And believe it or not, I met him in the latter part of July, and we got married in November.
Wow. Sure.
Very fast, but mm-hmm. you know, it turned out to be a very happy one and a very sick one, because he was sick a long time.
And what was his name?
Ernest Mendoza. Ernesto.
Ernesto. Ah. But you got married and then you moved here with him?
No.
No.
He didn't like it here.
Mm.
He lived in California. We lived all over in California because his kind of job took him to different places.
So then how long have you been back here?
After Salida. Mother died. After he died. Mm-hmm. He died in 1985 or 84. Mm-hmm. He's been dead a long time. He was a very sick man there towards the end. And I had to work to support myself because I wasn't old enough to draw any pension or anything. But I worked. Mm-hmm. Now I'm living off of the hog. I don't need for nothing. He was a sheep shear.
Oh.
You know what that is, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And he did that in California.
You did?
I said he did that. No, I never.
Oh, he did that in all over the western states.
Oh.
Texas, New Mexico, Colorado.
So did you live with him in the sheep wagon? And
No. I went one year and what a mess. You can't even take a bath out in the tulies. No, I didn't like it.
Yeah, it's pretty
hard.
Much roughing it. Yeah,
I would say. I was, home. I could do anything at home because that's how I was taught.
Right.
And
go ahead.
You ask me.
Okay. I was going to ask you, so you had to quit school because of the Depression. Were you ever able to go back?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, in fact, I went to the City College for three terms. because the job I had required for me to have more education, which I did.
And what was that job? And where's
I was a nurse that I was a bilingual aide. And I enjoyed it, every bit of it. And my husband, I used to tell my husband all the time, I don't care. Because being that he was a Texan, I was from Colorado, you're not going to believe this, but there is a lot of difference. Education-wise, the way you live, the food, the way you dress, everything's different.
Mm-hmm.
I even had to learn how to cook different to please him because we ate different. Hey, I didn't know what a tamal was to save my soul until after I married him. Much less enchiladas and all the Mexican food that there is nowadays. I didn't know about it.
What did you eat then? As a
here
growing up?
When I was going home, hey, very limited. Potatoes and beans and macaroni. We didn't even know what a grapefruit was. And they used to give some kind of food to, you know, all the needy families.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget the time that they brought us a whole bunch of grapefruits. We thought it was great because we have never had a grapefruit.
Wow.
You see them at the store.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you something now that's going to blow your top. I didn't know what an avocado was until I married my husband.
Well, isn't it good you married him? Look
what?
At all you learned. Isn't it good that you married him? You learned a lot.
Oh, yes. And I used to tell him all the time, I don't care if I don't speak Spanish, because we didn't speak it like he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was born in Del Rio, Texas.
So then, as growing up, your mother didn't make these huge Mexican dinners and dishes and Spanish rice and enchiladas?
No, because we didn't eat like that.
Yeah.
But after I married my husband, it was different. Oh, we had meat when my dad could afford it, and deer meat.
Mm-hmm.
But we cooked different, you know. You follow what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
I bet you didn't know that.
I'm surprised. I have a good friend who's Hispanic, and I know that her whole life has been making tortillas and, you know, living like that. And I would have assumed that in a town where there was quite a large Mexican population.
Oh, well, in California, yes.
No, I mean in Salida.
But they don't all, they don't all want to speak Spanish in this part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, Kathy, I had a very dear friend that lived across the street from me when I lived in California. Her name was Waina. And she came from Texas. And that woman could smell beans. And she lived across the street from me. When I was cooking beans, she would be the first one in my house. I want some beans. And I said, come on. Or I'd call her. I said, come on and eat. We're going to have enchiladas. And she'd come. But she never came empty-handed. She always, you know, I didn't have a deep freeze. She bought me what she had in her freezer. That's what she brought me. Because she wanted to eat some of them. She loved them. And Mexican beans and tortillas. She loved that kind of food. And she said that her mother, when they lived in Texas, that she was growing up, they had a Mexican neighbor. And his neighbor always made tortillas like this.
Mm-hmm.
Outside, you know, they must have had a rake or something, a grate or something to cook the tortillas out there.
Mm-hmm.
She said the little lady would give her little balls of dough. She'd go like that. Her mother would watch her, you know, from the window. And she would make tortillas like this. She said, you know, I loved them. And this lady that you know here, is she from here?
No, she's in Colorado Springs.
Who is she? Maybe I have a niece that lives over there, a nephew and a niece.
Pearl Sanchez.
Pearl Sanchez. Mm. You know, my sister's married to a Sanchi man.
Hmm.
Is she a young lady or?
Yes, she's my age.
Oh, where in Colorado Springs does she live?
On the west side. Yeah. I don't know. It's a small world sometimes.
You know, I've been to Colorado Springs a lot of times. But I don't know my directions. All I know is you cut off the highway and go into the area, you know, where I wouldn't be able to take you there.
No, it's a big city now.
Yes, it
is. Unlike Salida. So all the years that you were in Salida as a young woman, when did you actually leave Salida?
As a young girl, well, I was, maybe it must have been about 19, maybe going on 20. Mm-hmm. That was during the war, the beginning of the war, Second World War.
Right.
Well, frankly, there was nothing for me to do here. I couldn't find any kind of work. And I had to, you know, I couldn't be just depending on my dad to support me.
Right.
So my mother says, why don't you go over there? So I went. I worked to, you know, earn my way to go over there. And then I, maybe that was fate that I had to meet the boy I was going to marry. And I was, when he was able to work and he came back from the service, we had a very happy life. The only disappointment, we didn't have any children.
That sounds like
that's only been my only disappointment.
Yeah, but you adopted some.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder if it's worth it. Do you have any children?
I do. Three boys.
How many girl grandkids?
Zero. Not yet. I'm working on it.
You want me to blow your top?
Sure.
I got 11 great-great grandchildren.
Wait a minute. How could you do that? Great, great? Wow.
My daughter that I adopted, she had a whole bunch of kids. She had three girls and four boys. And they're all, you know, married now. And they have, the oldest girl's got four, the oldest boy's got four, and it goes down on the line anyway. You know, so that makes my daughter the grandmother. And I'm the great back.
Wow. Well, you're a lucky one, aren't you?
I got 11.
That's neat.
And to top of it off, I got a set of twins.
Oh. And you are lucky.
What?
I said you are lucky.
But I haven't seen them. I wish I was well enough so I could go see them.
Yeah, they need
but,
to come here.
But, you know,
here.
I can't.
Yeah, travel's hard.
I couldn't stand the strain.
Yeah.
And all that. Traffic's enough to drive anybody nuts over there. That's why I don't want to go to Denver either.
Yeah, that's even easier to get lost in Denver. Well, is there anything else you can think of that...
What do you want to know?
Well, something that you can think of. Like, when you did go to school, what was the name of the school that you went to here in Salida?
Well, I went to... Here in Salida, I went to McCray School and to the Longfellow and 2 years in junior high. And, but it, I didn't stop there. Let me tell you. It was required for me to go to school and get more a higher education. I told my husband, and my husband said, oh, he was a teaser. He said, you don't have to know how to talk Spanish. He says, you don't like to anyway. I said, but I have to. It is required. Well, you know, I knew a lot of people that went to higher up in school, and they encouraged me. They encouraged me to take the GED test. Boy, that was a chore. But I did it.
Good for you.
Well, you want to hear something? I passed everything with the flying colors, and I needed 45 points to get the GED test. And I failed completely because I couldn't pass the math. I lacked 2-3 points to get my GED test. That's how smart I am. But I didn't stop there. I kept on going to school. I went to took some creative writing classes, and I took more writing, and I took Spanish.
Oh, you did? Oh.
And I mastered it. And I went for 3 semesters at the City College in Santa Barbara. thanks to my husband. He used to tell me all the time, you don't pronounce it like that. But I learned. I've forgotten everything that I, you know, because they don't use it that much over here.
Yeah.
My nephew, you know, comes and does my house cleaning now. He said, you know, he called me Tia. You know, Tia, he said, I should have gone to school and learned how to talk Spanish. He said, now that I go around with the kids, they talk Spanish to me. He says, half of them I don't understand. Well, I said, you can learn. And I love Mexican music.
Uh-huh. And so do you fix Mexican food for yourself?
No.
Or you just eat potatoes? And
no, you know what? I can't have a hot chili anymore.
Yeah.
My diet is very limited. I got to keep away from salt, and it kills me. But I can't have it. I have very poor circulation. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel nothing on my feet. See, I got one shoe on one. Cause I can't find my shoes. Not on this foot.
So, is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
Oh, you got more
about
time?
Salida.
Salida has always been home to me. And Salida has always been a place where I belong. And you want to hear something else? We used to live across the tracks. You know.
Tracks. Okay.
But it was different then. Has anybody ever...
How was it different?
I'm just going to tell you about the people that lived over there.
Uh-huh.
There used to be do you know any of the Garduños here in Salida?
Yes.
Do you know Lucille Garduño?
No. Mm-mm.
Well, these Garduños were very good friends of ours. Where we used to sell ice cream at the band concert. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they've been with us for a long, you know, in the community. We knew each other, let's put it that way. Anyway... We used to live across the tracks. And the man that we rented the house from had a bunch of goats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One time, you know how the little kids are. Now, this is what Mother used to tell us. Now, I can't remember any of that. She said that the goats went in the house. We left the door open, and guess what they did? She said that they had eaten all the wallpaper off the walls in the house. She said they had chewed up the bedspreads and everything. That's what goats did. That the man had to really pay Mother for all that destruction that goats did. And he had a lot of them, Kathy.
Well, I guess he got goat's milk and goat's
anyway.
Meat.
Anyway, Carl Cascarelli was telling me about the burros that I don't remember them. He said they used to ride them all the time.
The bulls?
Right below the courthouse.
The bulls.
Burros.
Or the burros. Okay, right.
It'd be interesting for you to talk to him.
Yeah, I might give him a call. I've got his name down here, so I might give him a call.
Carl Cascarelli.
So was there anything more about you being on the other side of the tracks? Was it just you, or was it kind of like...
I know that we didn't. We had a well.
Community? Uh-huh.
We didn't have running water. We had a well, you know, mm-hmm. that we... and we had an on-site toilet. It was awful living back there. We didn't live very long over there. Mother moved when we went to the Second Street,
uh-huh.
where we played in the sandbags where they built a courthouse. Have you ever been there out there lately?
The courthouse?
Yeah. Yes, they built a new jail out
there. Yeah, yeah, it's a big complex.
I know, yeah. You know, it's not like that anymore. No. It wasn't like that when I was growing up.
No more sandbanks.
No more bright. All you have is trees now. It's pretty.
Trees and buildings, yeah.
And houses. No more, is my time up?
Well, we have a few more minutes if there's something.
What could I tell you? Okay, let me tell you. Do you know about the cemetery?
I know there is a cemetery. You tell me about it.
The cemetery going out to, from the Noyers up there?
From the Noyers? No. I know the one off of 140. Fairview.
No, this is the Woodlawn.
Okay. Well, tell
it's
me
up
about
there,
it.
One up that way. Okay. Well, anyway, they have to make a lot of contributions, you know, in the community to fence it. And that father of mine, he was always getting us in mixed up, you know, in parties and plays that we had to. And being that I was the oldest, you know, I always have to get up there and say a speech. I hated it, but I had to do it.
Now, where were you saying the speech?
In some hall here in Salida.
Oh, okay.
To make funds, you know, to put a fence around that cemetery.
To raise money.
To raise uh-huh. money. And they were very successful because they finally put a gate up there and a fence. But it's a shame that it doesn't have any water rights up there.
Oh. So you just take the road to Denoyers and go up?
It's even on going up the hill, you know, mm-hmm. just on the right side oh. of the road.
I've been there a million times.
And some of the people, you know, that have families buried up there, mm-hmm. they really take good care of the places up there. Very nice, some mm-hmm. of them. There's even a lot of soldiers buried over there.
So is that just, that's an old cemetery. People are still being buried there?
Well, let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. Not too long ago, I lost two of my brother-in-law. You know, they live out in California. And what they wanted to do was bury my brother-in-law, being that he was a soldier, on the same plot where my husband is buried. So she wrote and called. She called me first. And I said, well, I don't see why not. You know, you got to be buried somewhere. And in the meantime, I had made a funeral arrangement, you know, for a cremation here in Salida because money-wise, I didn't have, you know, that much money for a big funeral.
Mm-hmm.
So when I found out that I can be buried with him, but I have to go to California, I talked to the lady, the manager, you know, in the cemetery out there, but I have to be cremated, but I will be buried with him. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
And I didn't know it at the time.
Wow.
And it's not going to cost me nothing to have the ashes shipped over there.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that nice? Yeah. You know, those are things that you hardly ever want to think about.
Yeah.
But it's a must.
Yeah, you do have to think about it. Uh-huh.
You know, look how expensive a funeral is. You know something? There's nothing I get more fascinated with than to read Jewish history.
Really?
I love to read history, period.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things I don't understand, and sometimes I do a slow burn, but I get over it. You know, look what happened during the war with what Hitler did to all them Jews.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was uncalled for.
Exactly.
Are you descended from that area?
Not particularly Germany, but Poland.
Oh, you're from Poland?
And Romania and Russia.
You're not Catholic?
No, I'm Jewish.
I know, but some of them are Catholics. Look at the new pope, isn't he from Poland?
I believe the old one was from
Poland
or Czechoslovakia or something. And the new one, maybe. I'm not keeping up with the pope.
I don't know, Kathy. Yeah. Anyway, I get like I said, I like history, period.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly Indian history. And I also like Jewish history because some of it is so interesting. And it's so interesting with all those new scrolls that they have found. That really gets my attention. I really like stuff like that. Am I kook?
No, you're not, but you know, this is going to go off in a few minutes, so we better say goodbye.
Okay. Try and talk to Carl Castarello.
I will. Thank you for all of that. And thanks for meeting with me and letting me come and do
it. I hope I wasn't a disappointment.
Oh, you're quite a talker. I think you helped us a lot. So thanks, Catherine.
What?
Thank you.
Will it be on the paper or what?